You're listening to the Boogeyman's Closet podcast. Explicit language and spoilers ahead. You've been warned.
And we are back for yet another episode of the Boogeyman's Closet. As always, I am Mike Alvarez.
Boris Killifer.
And she's alive! Alive!
Yes, welcome back.
I'm Susie Hunt.
We also have a guest joining us today.
Hi, everyone. This is Brian Budnick.
Hey, it's been a while since you've been here with us. I think Night of the Living Dead was our last one with you.
Yeah, it has been a while, and I have to thank my wife, Corey, who was on a few weeks ago with you guys, and I think she may have guilted you into having me on again. So thank you to her for guilting you guys to having me back.
Well, as soon as she said that this was one of your favorites, I'm like, okay, we got to talk to Brian.
But no, I appreciate that, and I'm excited to be here.
Well, good to have you. We are covering our last vampire film for the month. This is episode 84, What We Do in the Shadows. It's from 2014. It's an hour and 26 minutes. Directed by two people who I'm going to butcher their names. Is it Taki? Is that how you say it? How do you say it, Maurice? I know you know his name.
Taki Waititi.
Okay, Taika. That guy.
Taika Waititi.
Taika Waititi, yeah.
God bless you.
Waititi.
And Jermaine Clement. So, but yeah, Waititi has directed Thor Ragnarok, Jojo Rabbit, one episode of The Mandalorian, and the upcoming Thor Love and Thunder. So, really fun director. Thor Ragnarok is by far my favorite of the Marvel movies. And obviously we all, you know, enjoy The Mandalorian, so.
Yep.
But let's go around the table and see what everyone thought about this film. Brian, as you are our guest, it's customary we start with you. So what are your thoughts on What We Do in the Shadows?
All right. Well, thank you. So I know I've seen this movie, but for some reason, I don't remember the contents of this movie. No, I'm sorry. So yeah, if anybody has seen the movie and you make it all the way through to the end of the credits, you'll get that joke. But no, I absolutely adore this movie. I know my wife and I, we saw it several years ago, and we were just, you know, we kept hearing about it, you know, just like, oh, this movie's so great, you gotta check it out, this and that. And I could not say enough about this movie. It's just so hilarious. You know, it's got, you know, plenty of horror elements in there for any of your fans out there. You know, just some gruesome things that happen and just, you know, but the humor is always there with it. So it's, to me, it's like the perfect mix of both humor and comedy. And, you know, I just love it. And, you know, obviously, you know, I'm sure you're probably going to eventually talk about the television show. But this also leads into their television show and everything. And it kind of started that whole thing and their whole universe that they've actually created around What We Do in the Shadows. But yeah, so I can't say enough good things about it. I just think it's great.
Definitely. Maurice, what do you think about this flick?
I enjoy this movie a lot. I feel like it started a good universe, and I think they're talking about making the sequel called We're Wolves.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I really haven't heard much, but I've seen the movie a couple times. And then obviously I'm a fan of the TV show, mm-hmm. but you know, it's more of a comedy than a horror film, but it's, you know, it's in that vampire vein. So the acting is great. The music was great. It's just an overall good movie. I recommend it to anyone who likes vampires or a good movie.
Definitely. Susie, what are your thoughts?
So the first time I saw this, I wasn't really a fan.
Really?
Yeah. I thought it was too ridiculous. But then I was like, you know what? I do like comedies, and this is kind of like a horror, you know, plays in the sandbox. Mm-hmm. So I gave it another watch. This is the fourth time I watched it for the show. And that second time I watched it, I really liked it. Like, something just clicked for me the second time I saw it. And Brian, actually, you and Corey, years of badgering me, not badgering, but saying you really need to watch the show. Yesterday, after I watched the movie, I started watching the TV show.
Yes.
Nadja. I love Nadja.
I told you you would.
Yes. And what's the psychic vampire? Colin?
Colin, yes. Robinson.
Colin Robinson's my favorite.
He's just so weird. And then, like, the episode where he has the girlfriend.
Yes.
I mean, I can't believe I didn't listen to you two sooner, because my life has been lacking. And there's only two seasons on Hulu right now, so I can definitely catch up before next season.
Yes, you can. And I think they're still producing the season, so I don't even think it's close to being done yet.
Awesome.
So you got some time.
And they're short, guys, so if you want to check it out, seasons 1 and 2 are on Hulu. And their short episodes are like 21 minutes long. Mm. Really, really like it. But getting back to the movie, I love the humor. I love the dynamic between each of them. The Beast, Jackie, just, it's Stu. And then the werewolves, those folks are just, that lot is just crazy in a humorous way. But there's so much to like about this movie. And Mike, you're completely right. When something is this funny, you want to jot every single thing down. And right? You can't. There's just so many great one-liners. Like, it's just, it's ludicrous. And I love Jermaine. I love Flight of the Conchords, which if you guys haven't checked it out, I highly recommend that. Not on anymore, but it used to be on HBO, and it's super good, super funny.
I still get Bowie's in Space stuck in my head.
Yep.
No, I totally agree. I fucking love this movie. I was a latecomer to the party. Everyone kept telling me to watch it, and it was just one of those movies that kept falling farther down on my list. I want to say that it was actually Valentine's Day 2016 that me and Jess finally watched it, because, like, you know, we had our dinner and all that, and we were talking about, you know, trying to find something we both wanted to see, and she had mentioned this, and I was like, oh yeah, you know, I've been meaning to watch it. Okay, let's watch this. And we fucking laughed our asses off. Like, it was just ridiculously funny. And I immediately fell in love with this film. And again, I was also late to the television show. Like, the first season had pretty much ended by the time I finally got a chance to watch it. And I still haven't watched season 2, but I loved season 1. Like, I thought that was freaking hilarious. The whole vampire council scene. Oh my God. I won't ruin it for anyone who hasn't seen it, but oh my God.
It's so good.
That episode alone,
like, yes,
fan fucking tastic. But yeah, as far as, like, writing everything down, it's hard enough on a comedy, and I know we've said this multiple times. With comedies, you want to write everything down, like you said, Susie. But with this in particular, being a mockumentary, most of the film is told in dialogue, because it's a lot of confessionals. It's a lot of talking at the camera. So most of the storytelling is done in that fashion. So if we're just describing the scene, it's like, oh, Vlad is talking to us. Viago is talking to us, you know? So we kind of have to write down what they're saying to kind of, you know, explain how the film progresses. So that I was having a very hard time on how to make my notes for this film. Plus it's hard when you really like it. you just want to comment on everything.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It was very easy to do stuff like Dolly Dearest, because, you know, we ended up not really liking that one. So there was very few notes. It was a lot of, this sucks. Why was I scared of this? What the fuck is that? but yeah, this is totally the opposite. So let's get through the cast. We have Vladislav, played by Jermaine Clement.
His name, you guys have obviously seen the meme with Vladislav, baby, don't hurt me. Okay.
I haven't, but that's amazing.
It's Vlad the Impaler.
Yeah.
But it's his name, Vladislav, lady, don't hurt. And then I immediately think of Night at the Roxbury. But anyway.
And don't forget, this is Vladislav the Poker.
Yes. That's right. Right. The Poker. Not the Impaler.
Yes.
Which, oh, there is a great callback to that in the movie.
Yes.
Yes, there is.
So he was in, obviously, Flight of the Conchords, as we mentioned, Men in Black 3, the upcoming Avatar 2 through 5 he's apparently in.
Oh, great.
there's a lot of voice work. He's on Rick and Morty, Regular Show, Moana, the Lego Batman movie, tons of stuff. Then we have Viago, played by that director, what, I can't say his name.
Taika Waititi.
Thank you. That guy.
Just say Watusi.
Yes.
Or Watusi, is that the dance?
Yes, the Watusi.
Yeah, just call him Mr. Watusi.
So Mr. Watusi was in Green Lantern, Thor Ragnarok. He has one of the best characters in Thor Ragnarok. Oh my god. Freaking Maurice, I know you know his name, the rock guy.
Korg.
Or, oh my god, I love him.
He's hilarious.
He's just so, like, deadpan. I love it.
Oh, then he's also in Avengers Endgame. He was in Jojo Rabbit and The Mandalorian.
Yeah, IG-11 in Mandalorian.
Yep.
Yep.
And then Deacon, played by Johnny Brew. He was in Power Rangers. And not a lot of films. Like, there's a lot of television stuff on his credits, but he's in a movie called Mega Time Squad, and it really intrigued me. I'm like, I need to go look this up because it looks ridiculous. Then we have Nick, played by Corey Gonzalez Marcer. He was in Eagle vs. Shark, Lee Bros, and Mean Mums. Stu is played by Stu Rutherford. He's in the upcoming Werewolves. Peter, played by Ben Franchem.
I fucking love Peter.
Oh, I know, me too. He was in, he's one of those guys that's in a lot of stuff under a lot of makeup, so he's definitely keeping his role here.
Similar to a Doug Jones type actor.
Yes. He's in Heavenly Creatures, he was in The Lord of the Rings, both The Two Towers and Fellowship, all playing different characters in both. He was in The Hobbit, the first Hobbit movie, and he was in Ash versus the Evil Dead. So then we have, last but not least, Jackie, played by Jackie Von Beek. She's in Eagle vs. Shark, 800 Words, and Funny Girls. Now, there's a lot of other actors, but they would have been a long rabbit hole to go down. So I didn't bring up all the people from the Unholy Masquerade because there was a lot.
Just the tip. We're just going with the tip to see how it feels.
Exactly. But the basic plot, for anyone who hasn't seen this, it's a mockumentary style film. So it's a documentary crew that follows around the undead lives of Viago, Deacon, and Vladislav, three vampires who are finding modern life a little tricky as they all room together in their flat with their Nosferatu buddy Peter.
Yeah. Here, I brought you this chicken.
So basically, it's just about some of their lives, or unlives, as it were, as vampires. So we open up with a screen that says New Zealand Documentary Board. Then it says, like, there's a, you know, black screen with white words saying every few years a secret society in New Zealand gathers for a special event, the Unholy Masquerade. In the months leading up to the ball, a documentary crew was granted full access to a small group of this society. We get a close-up on a digital alarm clock turning from 5:59 to 6, and an alarm goes off. We pan out and see a coffin laying next to it, and a hand reaches out, slams the alarm clock off, and sucks back into the coffin.
You forgot a part of the disclaimer at the beginning.
What's that?
It mentioned something about how the crew were all wearing crucifixes, and they were guaranteed safety by the participants.
Yes. Right. Yeah, no, that's actually right after this scene, because it cuts back to the black screen.
Oh, that's right, that's right.
It says, each crew member wore a crucifix and was granted protection by the subjects of the film. Then we see Viago rise up out of his coffin, smiling at the camera.
Oh, that smile.
And then it says, Viago, 379 years old. And so he kind of gets up and takes us through his morning ritual, or evening ritual, as it were. Says at 6 p.m. when he gets up, he looks around at the curtains and he's like, this is always the scary part for me. He checks out the curtains and makes sure it's dark. And then he gets, you know, he sees it tonight and gets all excited. So he goes to wake up all of his roommates. First, he goes to, well, as he's running up the stairs, he's going, wake up, everyone, awaken, awakey, wakey. I love his character so much.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that he based his character on his mother?
Yes. And each of the vampires in this were also based on a well-known film vampire. So Viago is based on, was it Louis from Interview with the Vampire?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Then Vlad is obviously based on Dracula, or particularly Bram Stoker's Dracula, because he even has the butt hair in one scene.
Yep.
I forgot, Deacon, who was he based on? Because I know Nick is based on Twilight.
Yeah, what's it? Is it David from The Lost Boys?
David.
It was, yeah. Lost Boys. Yeah. So, and then obviously Peter is Nosferatu. But so he goes, well, the first one he wakes up is Deacon. He opens up a closet and Deacon is just hanging upside down.
And he hisses at him. There's a lot of hissing in the movie.
There is.
It's really funny too.
Because he goes, what did you do last night? Did you have a good night? He goes, I transformed into a dog and had sex. So Viago tells him that they're going to have a meeting in the kitchen in about 15 minutes, and he closes the door.
So my question about this real quick is, and obviously it kind of, you get more and more reveals as it goes along, but why doesn't Deacon get a coffin?
You know, I think just going with the whole Lost Boys thing, because like
they
down in the cave. So maybe because he also does the Lost Boys trick later on. So maybe he really dug that movie.
Gotcha. Okay. That could be.
But so he goes to wake up Vlad next and he opens this door into just a pit of darkness. And you see Vlad with like three vampire women, like rolling around on him, like stuck to the wall, and they all hiss at Viago. He closes the door and just looks at the camera all sheepishly, and then the door opens again and Vlad is half dressed and the room looks normal. Yep. He's like, what? And so he tells him they're having a meeting in 10 minutes and he goes, make it 20, and he shuts the door on him. So now we cut to Viago putting a chicken in a bag. And he goes down to the basement and tells the camera, he's like, so we're in Peter's room. I'm just going to wake him up. And he slides this heavy slab off of like a tomb that's up on the wall. And we see basically Nosferatu in there. And Viago tries to casually wake him up. He looks terrified. He's like, Peter, open your eyes. And he opens his eyes and hisses at him. And Viago kind of hides behind the slab. He's like, hey, we are having a meeting in 15 minutes in the kitchen. You don't have to come if you don't want to. And then he goes, I'm looking around at the floor. There's a lot of stuff. I can bring down a broom if you want to clean up. He goes, oh, there's a spinal column. Yuck.
Yeah, and he mentions, I should just bring a broom down here if you want to sweep up some of the skeletons.
Oh, my God. So he starts to close the tube back up, and he goes, I brought you this chicken.
And then Peter just grabs it.
Yep.
And you hear the clucking and then the hissing. Oh, my God. That whole introduction scene is fucking gold.
It is. And it really sets you up for what you're in for the rest of this movie. Like, I mean, if you're not in after these first few moments here, you should probably just turn it off.
Right.
Yeah.
And pretty accurate, too, because, I mean, it does set up the entire type of jokes you're going to be seeing throughout the film.
Yeah.
But yes, we cut to the kitchen. We see Vlad and Deacon are already at the table. Deacon is knitting. And Vlad asks Viago if Peter is coming and should they keep waiting. And he goes, Peter is 8,000 years old. We're going to have the meeting without him. So they go on to explain how not everyone is pulling their weight. And they kind of look at Deacon. He's like, Deacon, you know, you're a cool guy and all, but, you know, you got to do your chores.
Well, I'm glad to hear that I'm cool.
Yep.
And then he goes, he's like, and I do my chores there. And Vlad goes, no, no, you don't. You haven't done your dishes in 5 years. He goes, I'm so embarrassed when people come over. He goes, what does it matter? You bring them over and kill them. Vampires don't do dishes.
So oh. I have to mention this really quick. So our daughter, London, obviously she's off in college now. And I think she's been a guest on your podcast, right?
Yep. Original Black, yes. Black Christmas.
Yep. So she was living with some suite mates. She actually was fortunate enough to be in a suite where she got to live with, I think it was 5 other girls. And they were having a problem similar to this where they were, you know, supposed to divvy up chores and things like that. And in order to call the meeting, she actually shared this clip with her roommates to basically tell them that there was a problem and they needed to discuss this. So she shared this clip.
That's my niece kind of
sitting down and
that's too perfect.
Yep.
Oh, man. So then we get this montage scene of Deacon running around the city acting like an ass while Viago and Vlad kind of just watch him and laugh. And Viago tells the camera how Deacon's kind of the young guy, the young bad boy of the group who just does and says crazy things. And then we cut to the Deacon confessional. It says Deacon, 183 years old, and he tells his origin story. And
I freaking love this.
He goes, okay, so one day I was selling my wares and I walk past this old creepy castle and I look at it and think, very old, very creepy. And then this creature flies at me and dragged me back to its dark dungeon. It bit my neck, and just at the point of death, this creature forced me to suck its foul blood. And he goes, and then it opened its wings like this, and he extends his arms and kind of flaps. And it hovered above me, screeching, ha ha ha, you are now vampire. And it was Peter, and he gestures over to Peter.
And Peter just sits there and nods his head, yep, like, yep.
Just kind of nods, yep.
It was me.
And he goes, and we're still friends today.
And he continues to nod.
Oh my god. Again, this entire opening sequence is fucking gold. But so we cut back to the group at the kitchen table. And Viago compliments Vlad for taking out the recycling. And then Vlad goes, I also dragged a man's body down the hall and it kind of dusted when I did that. So I kind of did that too.
I swept the floor.
Yeah, that's what I kind of swept the floor. Oh my god. So we get the voiceover of Viago telling us about Vlad. It says, Vladislav is like the older vampire who grew up in medieval times, and you know, to be living this long and to have seen the things that he's seen and still kind of have it together, I mean, hats off to him. While the voiceover is happening, we see Vlad readying a bow and arrow.
Which, this is my son Brendan's favorite part of the movie.
Down the hall, we see Viago holding up a target and kind of dancing back and forth.
I think it was a dartboard, actually.
And Viago fires, or I mean, Vlad fires, and it just hits Viago right in the leg. And he flops around the hallway yelling. And then Vlad just goes, sorry. Oh, man.
But yes, just the delivery of him flopping around that hallway and everything, it's just, it's hilarious. It's so funny.
He's like, ah, bloody hell.
Yep.
And the voiceover continues and goes, he's a really great guy, a bit of a pervert. He has some pretty old ideas about things. And then we cut to the group at the kitchen table, and Vlad suggests getting slaves, and Deacon goes, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, so we.
I also like how when they're each doing the origin story, they show like pictures of each of them like throughout the ages.
Yes. Oh yeah, I love it when they have like the weird 60s and 70s photos of them.
Yes.
Yep.
But yeah, so we cut to the Vlad confessional, and it says Vladislav's 862 years old, and he goes, "When I first became vampire, I was quite tyrannical. I was known for torturing a lot of people." And then we cut to his torture chamber.
He's like, I don't come down here very often anymore.
He goes, I torture when I'm in a bad place. And then he goes, my thing was I would poke someone with implements. I was known as Vladislav the Poker.
And then he raises his eyebrow.
Oh. So we cut to Viago showing them the chore wheel that he made and how it hasn't moved in 5 years because Deacon never did the dishes. Vlad goes on to tell us Viago was an 18th century dandy, so he can be a bit fussy. And we see Viago complaining that someone got blood all over his antique couch. And
what, the red one?
Well, it's red now. And he goes, just put down newspapers or towels before eating someone. It's not that hard.
We're vampires. We don't do that.
Oh.
But then we see in a couple scenes that he actually does do that, which
yes,
is
he does.
Fucking hilarious.
Which we also find out that it doesn't help at all. But
right.
So the meeting ends, and Deacon angrily agrees to do the dishes, and then both Viago and Deacon float up into the air hissing at each other. And Vlad just watches, giving side eye to the camera.
Yep. My favorite part of this is after it all kind of is taken care of and they're kind of calming down. Did you guys notice how like Viago couldn't like get back to his seat?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, like, I was like, I'm assuming that it was probably a mistake, but it was just really funny because like Deacon gets right back and everything's fine. And then like Viago's like struggling to get back down. And it was just, I don't know. I just found that really, really funny.
Actually, quite a few of the flying sequences, there's a little bit of like struggle. So I'm wondering if it's just the wire work was difficult or something. Right. But it makes for very funny scenes.
It sure does.
But so we cut to Deacon doing the dishes, and there's just this pile of bloodstained dishes. And he's washing them, and he looks at the camera and goes, this is bullshit.
Do you notice, too, he's washing a chalice, and when he pours the water out, it's really just, like, black.
Yeah.
Because they're so dirty and bloodstained.
Oh, and then we get the opening credits intercut with them cleaning the apartment, like Vlad is hovering and vacuuming the walls.
Yep. And that song.
Oh, that song is so good.
It's so great. Like, even when because they use the same song on the television show, and even when we watch the show, like, that's the one song that we don't skip when we're watching the show.
Right.
Like, usually, you know, we'll watch it, like, after the fact or something, and we'll fast forward, you know, when you hear the song, or if, you know, if you're watching it streaming, you can skip the opening credits. Like, we always listen to that song.
It's good, though. It's really good. But, so we, with along with the scenes of them cleaning the apartment, we're seeing kind of like the photographs that you were talking about, Susie, of them throughout the ages, along with like paintings and drawings. And then Vlad comes on and he goes, I became a vampire when I was 16. That is why I will always look 16. He goes, of course, in those days, life was tough for a 16-year-old.
Now, what did you guys think of those opening credits? Because, like, to me, it almost seemed like it was more aligned to, like, a television show.
Oh, yeah.
And for a movie. So it's like, and that's literally what they use for the TV show. So I don't know what you guys thought about that. I thought it seemed a little out of place being in a movie.
Well, I liked it.
I mean, it was great, don't get me wrong, but it just seemed a little strange.
If I remember correctly, they were originally trying to make this a TV show.
Okay.
And that, you know, it was just wasn't happening, so they were like, fuck it, let's make a movie. And then after the movie did well, they were like, hey, TV show? So, kind of were able to bring it back full circle. That's actually happened a couple times, because that happened with Joss Whedon with Buffy. You know, like, he was trying to make a TV show, but no one would do it, so he made the movie.
Right. Yep,
you know, gotcha. And then eventually people liked it, so it's like, TV show? Can we do that now?
Mm-hmm.
But
and Ken has TV?
Exactly. So then we have
Body's love, lady, don't hurt me. I'm sorry, it's just playing in my head now that I said it.
Anytime I hear that song now, it's gonna be Vladislav. Like,
yep.
I never heard that before.
I'm gonna find the meme and I'm gonna post it on your Facebook.
Please do, because that's funny as hell.
It really is.
So then we get Viago, and he says, vampires have had a pretty bad rap. He goes, we're not all these mopey old creatures who live in castles. And, well, some. I mean, most of us do. A lot of us are. He goes, but there are also those of us who like to flat together in really small countries like New Zealand. And then we cut to Deacon just goes, I was a Nazi vampire.
I want to see that show.
That sounds like something that should be on MTV.
Right.
So we see a video of Deacon making vampires while Hitler is saying, and with my secret vampire army, we will conquer the world. And then he goes, after the war, which the Nazis lost, I don't know if you know that the Nazis lost that war. He goes, if you were a Nazi after the war, he makes a face and goes, eh. And then he goes, and if you were a vampire, he shakes his head and he goes, and if you were a Nazi vampire, no way. And he just,
that's he goes, it, I'm out of there.
Exactly. Oh, so we see more montage throughout the years, along with pictures from the Unholy Masquerade, which will come into play a little later. And then we get the title card. And Viago tells the camera, he's like, that he came to the country for love, that he was in love with a human girl named Catherine. Her family emigrated to New Zealand, and he followed her to tell her how he felt. And he goes, unfortunately, my servant Philip put the wrong postage on my coffin, and it took me a long time to get there. So the journey took 18 months.
And by then, she was already married.
Yep. Well, you can't expect her to wait forever. I mean, come on.
So we see him putting on gloves, and he pulls out a silver locket that she gave him before she left. And he goes, unfortunately, the locket is pure silver, and we vampires can't wear silver. So he demonstrates, he puts it on his chest, and it starts sizzling and smoking.
And he endures it for a few moments, and he's like, all right, they cannot wear this anymore.
He's like, but again, just his face and his facial expressions, too, as this is all happening. It's just, oh, so good.
The physical comedy in this movie is fantastic. Yep.
Oh, it so is. And I just love how different each of the vampires are.
Yes. Yeah.
They all have this very unique personality, and it works so well together. But so Viago tells us how some of their clothes are from victims. And he goes, you may kill somebody and think, oh, those are some nice pants.
I mean, doesn't everybody think that? Oh, those are nice pants.
as you're disposing of the body.
Yeah. I mean, these days I'd only go for sweatpants, so... Jeans are for special occasion. No, who am I kidding?
What's a special occasion? I've forgotten.
Well, I got my car inspected on Monday, so I actually put makeup on to drive out to the dealership there for an hour.
Oh, man. So, forget Deacon tells the camera, when you become a vampire, you become sexy. And then he gestures to himself, raising his eyebrows. Like, eh? Vlad mentions how they're trying to attract victims, and tells them how, they have to look good. He goes, I go for a look that's called dead but delicious. And we get a fashion montage of them trying on different outfits.
And yep. Drawing pictures of the one modeling so they can know what they look like. Right. Because they have no reflections.
Yep.
We help each other. We give compliments. We give tips. And I love because, like, they're just like scribbles.
Yep. Well, I love, too, I think when they were talking about the reflections, and then when Viago's holding up the ghost cup.
Oh, my God, yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's a ghost cup. Look.
It's floating all by itself. Yes.
And then, of course, their band also. Like, oh. What a great band that
yep.
is.
Mm-hmm.
That them drawing each other during the fashion montage is probably my favorite joke in the movie. It's like... I mentioned this on Fright Night, how I thought it was wonderful that when Evil Ed had first turned, when Peter Vincent burns his head with the crucifix, he tries for a moment to look in the mirror because he's a newly turned vampire and not used to not being able to see his reflection. I always love those little nods to the fact that they have no reflection. Mm-hmm. And then when they got to this and they're like, you know, we have to help each other, like you said, Susie. I thought that joke was fucking hilarious. I'm like, that's fantastic. I loved it. So But so yeah, we get the montage of them getting dressed up, and he says, "And at last, we're ready to go into town and party." And he goes, "Vampire style." They all say it at different times. It's like, yeah, vampire style. And then we get a smash cut to them riding in the back of the bus.
In their outfits.
Oh, my God.
And I love this whole sequence, too, because they bring up that we have to be invited in. We can't just walk into a bar. So then they're, like, walking down what would be the equivalent, I would think, of, like, Chippewa in downtown Buffalo. And, like, well, will you please let us into the bar? Can we please come in? And the bouncers are like, get the fuck out of here. And then, but then they end up at the vampire bar anyway.
Well, I love it because Vlad tells the camera, he goes, if the humans found out what we are, they would destroy us. He goes, there are between 60 and 70 vampires in the greater Wellington region. And they pass by two vampires on a bench and one of them just hisses at them.
Yep.
And then they pass by a woman who's like kind of all gothed out in a phone booth. And Vlad goes, obvious vampire. And then they come across a vampire named Jolene, who they know, who is drinking from a victim. And she embarrassingly wipes her chin in front of the camera, like all embarrassed. Mm-hmm.
And is this where they meet the two young girls?
Yeah,
that's right up next. Yeah.
Yep.
Because she goes, she explains that the guy she's drinking, she's like, oh, yeah, he's a guy I used to work with. And they're like, is he still alive? And she goes, oh, no, I've been draining him all night. She pats her stomach and goes, thirsty, thirsty girl.
And I just love, too, how it's just so nonchalant. Like, they just walk up and they're just having a conversation. She's like, oh, yeah, I've been draining this guy all night and no big deal. And it's just great.
Oh, and then, yeah, Viago, they walked out and they see the two little girls, and Viago explains being bitten as a little boy or little girl, you're always going to look the same age. But Susie, go ahead.
I love it because they're like, oh, what are you hunting? Are you looking for a pedophile? And they're both like, yes, we will get a pedophile.
Which is incredible.
Yep.
I love it because Vlad is just like, yeah, cool, cool. So then they head to the club, the Big Kumara, and they explain that it's vampire-owned and operated, so they can always get in. And then Deacon goes, it's the hottest night spot for vampires in Wellington. And we smash cut inside, and it's just Deacon, Vlad, and Viago dancing by themselves with a few random people sitting around the bar.
So now, how many of you recognize those dances at all, maybe from a club that was around in our youth, maybe?
Oh, good old continental mirror dancing.
Yep.
That's all I could think of when I saw that. I was like, oh my gosh, here it is.
Yep. See, you didn't even have to go there, Brian. Like, you watched it happen.
Exactly.
I'm not going to lie. I was known to mirror dance a few times in my youth.
I was that guy just kind of sitting by himself smoking and watching. I was people watching.
Yeah, that's what I did the few times I went there as well.
Remember the leather pants I had? Those were really not comfortable to wear to the Continental.
But you looked good, and that's all that matters.
I did. Exactly. I looked good as fuck, and I had a platinum blonde wig. You remember when I got dared to come to Denny's dressed up like I was going to the Continental, and I did it? Black leather pants, platinum blonde wig.
Oh my God.
The Continental. Corey has the best Continental story, though. I don't know if you guys have heard this story before, but when she was, or I think it was one of her friends, was going into the men's room, and there was a guy in the men's room with a cardboard cutout of Sarah Michelle Gellar. it was her friend Tom. She's telling me right now.
I know Tom.
And so apparently when Tom walked by this guy, he kind of like brushed up against the cardboard cutout and he just like looked at him and like turned the cutout and was like, excuse me. And he was just like, you're supposed to say excuse me to her. And he just kind of looked at the guy and was like, that's a cardboard cutout, dude.
Clearly, ecstasy is a hell of a drug. Oh man. But so we cut to Deacon sitting at a little table with his familiar Jackie. And he's giving her instructions on bringing victims to the house. And she's like, any you know, preference? And he goes, girls and a guy.
Maybe one of each. They must be virgins.
So we cut to Jackie driving and explaining to the camera, you know, how she's his familiar and he tells me what to do when I do it. Then we get a montage of her doing yard work, taking clothes to the cleaners. And I love this joke.
She goes, my husband's a hemophiliac. You know, he bleeds a lot. And then she looks at the camera and is like, meh.
And the shirt she pulls out is just covered in blood. Oh, but yeah, back to Deacon at the club giving her directions. And she's like, any age preference? And he goes, yeah, you know, younger. And she goes, like 18 to 30. He goes, well, younger than you. And she goes,
so 18 to 30.
And then, so she's like, okay, so for a dinner party, he goes, yes, dinner party. We'll dress up and then we'll eat them.
Oh, and you forgot about the night dentist.
Oh, yes.
He goes, Jackie tries to explain to him about their deal. She's like, you know, you promised me. And then he cuts her off and he goes, do you know of a good night dentist?
Yeah, that's the whole part with this scene. Like, Deacon just, like, he just can't be bothered with anything to do with her life. You know, it's just, it's sad.
He's a dick.
He is. And, I mean, that's a toxic relationship.
I mean, to be fair, he was a Nazi vampire. So, yeah.
That's true.
Right.
That's true. So this is a step up.
Yeah. Oh man. So then she presses on about the deal and he bitches about the dishes. He goes, why have you not done the dishes? And then we cut to Jackie in the car explaining to the camera that the deal with Deacon is that he'll give her eternal life, that he'll turn her. And then back to the club, she's telling him, she's like, I don't want to get any older. She's like, I feel like I'm the best version of myself I can be. And it's been 4.5 years and I've been doing everything you've asked. So, you know, maybe we can talk about turning me into a vampire. And he cuts her off. He goes, be gone.
And don't forget the dentist.
She gets up to leave. He goes, see you later. Oh, okay. And don't forget about the dentist. And then we see the two little girls killing the pedophile and drinking the blood.
It's so great.
Oh, man. So while a voiceover of Viago says, he goes, one of the most unfortunate parts about being a vampire is that you have to drink human blood. And then we see him with a woman at their house.
Oh, so this is so where good. He lays down the newspaper.
Yes.
He's like, I like to make them comfortable. You know, enjoy the moment. Make them feel special because it is their last.
It's her last day alive.
And then the woman's like, I'm thinking about going to university. And then after, I'd like to travel the world, you know, save up, go to Spain, Portugal. And he's just like walking around her and then sits down next to her, lays the newspapers down on the floor. And then he goes, all right, I'm going to do it. And then it just turns so bad. And I love how it's so obvious that it's like the blood itself and the puke we'll see later is so obviously fed through a tube up their sleeve.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
But it just makes it even funnier to me.
Well, I love it because he tucks that little, like, frilly napkin into his shirt.
I was just going to mention that.
He has, like a little bib.
And then he brushes
her hair back.
Yeah, and, like, he's trying to make it so it's not going to be a mess, and, like, he's really trying to be very careful with all of this, and then it just goes south.
When he bites her, it's like the Crazy 88 fight scene in Kill Bill,
yes.
Where you just see blood spraying everywhere. He's going, shit! He's trying to catch the blood in his mouth.
And then he's like, ugh!
And then we cut to Viago completely covered in blood. He goes, it didn't go so great. I hit the main artery. It's a real mess in there. Oh. So we cut to Vlad watching a woman.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. You forgot. But on the upside, I think she had a really good time.
Yes. That's right.
Oh, my God. So we cut to Vlad watching a woman through the window. telling the camera how he's found his victim and he's going to hypnotize her and he goes, see me. See me.
And she doesn't turn around and he's like, it's very hard for her to see me from this angle.
And then we get a montage scene. We see like crowds and orgies and with Viago's voiceover and he goes, Vladislav used to be extremely powerful. He could hypnotize crowds of people. Great orgies, 20, 30 women. Because he could turn into all sorts of animals, but now he never gets the face right.
Which we'll oh my God. We're going to have nightmare fuel in a little bit.
Yep. And he goes, he would kill anybody, man, woman, children, burning everything. It was totally great. But he suffered a humiliating defeat at the hands of his arch nemesis. The Beast.
Okay, and why does the Beast look like a big potato with a carrot penis?
Right? Because, yeah, we see like a montage of drawings of monsters.
Right.
It's exactly like you said. It looked like a potato with a dick coming out of its chest.
Right. And
wings and titties. Like, it was...
Damn titties.
I mean, if that's not a beast, I don't know what is.
And then we just hear Viago say, and he's never been the same. And we cut back to Vlad trying to hypnotize an old man, but with no luck, so he slaps the window. And then the old man comes over and invites him in, and he winks at the camera.
See, I thought he was reluctantly like, I don't know if I should. Like, I've come to this. Like, it almost seemed like he was disappointed.
Oh my God. Just that, again, that whole sequence is fucking gold. Mm-hmm. But, so we see Jackie arriving at the house with a man and a woman. She goes in to kiss Deacon, and he kind of shoves her aside.
So she's like, oh, nice to see ya.
Then he welcomes in Nick, who is her ex-boyfriend, and Josephine.
And the whole how she procures them, which we'll find out in a few minutes, is fucking hilarious.
Oh, God, yeah. And then, well, the others come and excitedly welcome the guests into their house. And this is where, yeah, we cut to Jackie telling the camera how she has to find victims. And she goes, and it can't be anyone I care too much about, you know, because they're going to die. And we see her on the phone with Josephine, who she knew in ninth grade.
She's like, yeah, you sat next to me in English.
She goes, yeah, you called me the Jack Assist. And she goes, no, you started that and it stuck. Oh, so we see they all get to the dinner table and then Viago excitedly rushes out of the room to prepare dinner. And Deacon just casually asks Nick, he goes, so are you a virgin?
And Nick's like, no. And Jackie's like, what? No, you're a virgin. You were a virgin when we dated. And he's like, we were 12.
Oh, I love it. So the Deacon to the camera, he goes, I think we drink virgin blood because it sounds cool. And then Vlad, oh my God, this is one of the best parts of the movie.
It is.
He looks at the camera and goes, I think of it like this. If you're going to eat a sandwich, you would just enjoy it more if you knew no one had fucked it first.
I mean, he's not wrong.
Yep.
Exactly. It's
kind of like the Ookie cookie.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Oh, God. So I have to mention with this part, too, I found out, I don't know if you guys realize this, but this whole movie was based on a short film that Taika and Jermaine actually created, and it actually follows very closely to the film. So it's only about 25 minutes long. You can find it on YouTube. It's called What We Do in the Shadows, and I think it's Questions with Vampires or something like that. But so a lot of what you see in the movie happens in this, but so this joke is put into that, but Jermaine says something different because he just says, you enjoy it more if you know that no one else has eaten it. So if you had seen that documentary, you'd be thinking that that line was coming up. But then, of course, he says that line that you just brought up, Mike, about that you enjoy it more knowing that no one else has fucked it. So they just totally flipped it on its head, which I thought was hilarious, because before we watched it, I was watching it with Corey and my son Brendan. We watched the short film first, so we saw that joke coming. So we were like, oh, okay, you know, they're going to do that. And then, of course, he just completely flipped it on its head, which I thought was great.
It's such a great line. It like, sure oh is. My God. Well, and it's funny because this the reason it made me laugh so hard, and I mentioned this not only in our Patreon vampire conversation, but I brought it up again, I believe, in From Dusk Till Dawn, where I like monster vampires that are just going to, like, rip apart people and drink their blood. I hate the lovelorn vampires because I'm like, to me, it's like, this is their food source. Why? There's no difference between, like, them wanting to, them falling in love with a human and wanting to fuck them versus, like, a dude wanting to fuck a cheeseburger. You know? And I've mentioned that multiple times, and, like, that line, I'm like, yes, exactly! Oh, my God. So now we get this uncomfortable virgin conversation where they're like, what about Josephine? And Jackie goes, well, yeah, I mean, look at her. Who would want to have sex with her? I mean, I wouldn't. And then Deacon goes, well, I would. Oh, my God. So Viago comes in with two cans of spaghetti, like just open cans of spaghetti.
And he just pours them out onto their plates. And I love this.
Nothing.
Right, not cooked, just fresh, straight up out of the can, and
it's not spaghetti, it's
biscotti. It's biscotti.
Biscotti.
You like your biscotti?
And he's like, I would like it if it was heated up. He's like, try some biscotti. So then he goes, he's like, do you like the worms, Nick? And he looks down and jumps up because he sees worms on his plate. And then we cut to Deacon going, we stole that joke from the Lost Boys, but I put a nice twist on it. And we cut back to Deacon. He goes, Dick, how does it feel to have a snake for a penis? And he starts grabbing at himself, saying, my dick disappeared. There's a cobra there. And Jackie goes, no one's going to mistake your dick for a cobra. Oh, my God. So he's like, what did you put in my food? And Deacon goes, it's just a normal penis, Nick. And he gets pissed off and tries to leave. So,
and then he, like, runs through the house. He has his backpack, and I love this sequence because he's, like, running from room to room, and they're always, like, at least one of them there. They're like, ha! Ah.
Yes!
And then which one is it? Is it Deacon or Deacon's Viago who climbs out of his backpack?
Yeah, Deacon's in the bag.
Deacon's in his backpack, and he tries to, like, reach out, grab him, and Nick throws it down, and Deacon, like, is stuck in the backpack. Like, you only see his upper torso, and he's, like, fighting to get to Nick. And then Nick gets all pissed off, and he's like, they spike my spaghetti? The Tim McCall can do a snake? Not cool.
Well, I love it, because when he goes running down the hall, he sees Vlad as the cat.
Oh God!
So we get.
Oh my God! That is fucking nightmare fuel.
It so is, and it's just going like, and it's a cat with fucking Vlad's face
superimposed on it. Like that's some bad. That's some bad photoshopping.
And he goes running away, and he goes back to the dining hall, and we see Viago with Josephine dead on the table, spraying blood up in the air, and he's going, shit, shit, shit.
That's what we call a callback.
So he goes running into another room, and he looks out the window, and we see Jackie getting into her car, and he's pounding on the window, and she's like, bye, Nick! Have fun! And then we get the scene you were talking about where Deacon tries to climb out of his backpack. So he's freaking out, running around the house. He eventually runs out. He goes to go run around the one corner. And Viago comes running at him with his hands up going, ay, 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 ay. Chasing after him. And then Vlad floats up on the other side, like, chasing him. And then he turns around the hall and all three of them start floating after him, chasing him. And, oh, my God. So eventually he gets outside. Oh. And they're all chasing.
They're chasing him, and then Peter comes out of nowhere, and it's just like this feral animal attack.
Yes! And it's totally like, you know, that first-person perspective shot, like a found footage movie. Mm-hmm. You see him, like, running through the darkness, and then Peter just tackles him out of frame.
Yep.
Well, there's one part...
he's 8,000 years old. He's really a skilled hunter.
Right? There's one part I forgot to mention where... the fucking where Viago's chasing him, when he closes the door on him, we hear hissing and clawing on the other side, and Nick just goes, all as calm as can be, goes, fuck off.
Right.
And it stops.
That's right.
Oh, but when Peter gets him, you hear the other guys in the background go, oh, no, Peter got him. And then one guy goes, oh, poor guy. And then he goes, who let Peter out?
Yeah, who let Peter out?
So we cut to the next day. Jackie's hosing down the blood on the lawn. And then it says...
And it's just a quick scene. It's her standing out there, like, power washing the sidewalk. And then it goes to 2 months later... And there's this, like, Middle Eastern music playing, and Deacon is doing this belly dance in leather pants and a wife beater. It was so fucking uncomfortable to watch.
But so funny.
It and really was funny.
And that song is just, like, it'll just burrow in your head.
And I love how it cuts to Viago and Vlad watching, and they keep side-eyeing the camera, like, okay. And then suddenly Nick shows up floating outside the window asking what's up.
And I love this because he comes in, but then they do like a confessional with him. And when they do the confessionals at the very beginning, it'll say like, you know, Peter, 8,000 years old, Deacon, 183 years old. It says Nick, recent vampire.
But I love it because he's knocking on the window and they're like, Nick, come in, come in. They have to invite him in. And then... Yeah, we get the confessional of him saying, I've been a vampire for 2 months. And he goes, my favorite part about being a vampire is being able to fly. He goes, of course, you know, I think everyone would like that. And we see him trying to fly, but having a really hard time with it.
Just coming into the window.
Yep.
Fantastic.
Then they ask him why he just didn't use the front door.
Right. He's like, because I can fly. And he's like, but the neighbors are going to see. I love it because Nick tells the camera, he says, Peter sucked out my blood. And he goes, and I woke up in his basement. And he goes, Peter offered me some of his blood. And I just thought it was a thing German guys do. And I fucking lost it.
And the way he delivers it, Nick is just so like deadpan and monotone. He's like, woke up in Peter's basement. He offered me some of his blood. I thought it was just a thing that German guys do. Like, so just like, hey, it is what it is.
Just matter of fact, yep.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So well, he goes, right, now I'm a vampire.
Pretty much.
Wrong country.
And he goes on to tell us about the transformation. We see him going to a hospital. They look very confused.
Yes.
Talking about his neck wound. And then we see him back at home, and he's like, I was either too hot or too cold. And he goes, it was like a hangover times 10. And then we see him looking at himself in the mirror as his reflection starts moving differently from him and eventually fades away.
Funniest part about this, like, sequence, him after he got bitten, is he's at home, too hot or too cold. He doesn't bother to shower or change his clothes. He's still in the clothes that he was attacked in.
With dried blood on his neck.
Yep.
That's a good point.
To quote Deacon, that's just unhygienic. Unhygienic.
And then Deacon, this is where he chastises him about, you know, the neighbors will see him. And Nick goes, you've got a whole documentary crew following you around. And then he goes on, Deacon yells at him some more. He goes, you interrupted my erotic dance. I was doing it for my friends. They were enjoying it very much.
And then they show them, and they're just kind of like,
No.
But yes, I love that. The erotic dance.
And then we find out that Nick wants to be part of their group. And he says, you know, I feel like they can teach me some things. He goes, they're so old, and they can show me a few things about being a vampire. He goes, but they're kind of naive to the modern world, and I can teach them a few things. And then we cut to Nick scratching a record on a Victrola. He goes on to say how being dead has kind of affected his relationships with normal people. It's like, you know, like my family. He goes, but the way I see it is I have a whole new family, even though one of them killed me.
Yep.
And then we get the Pac-Man scene in front of the mirror. So he's got Viago holding a handkerchief like a ghost.
Yep.
He's got a little stress ball with a little slit in it, like a yellow stress ball, going, wah, wah, wah. Oh my god. Again, the mirror jokes crack me up.
Mm-hmm.
So we cut to the group out in the town, and like whatchamacallit, Deacon suggests going to the Big Kamara, and Nick suggests that they go to Boogie Wonderland. And they're like, we never get into Boogie Wonderland. He goes, oh, I have a friend who's a bouncer. He can get us in. So Nick's friend Stu shows up.
Oh, and Stu.
I like Stu.
Stu's the best.
He so is. And he explains, he goes, oh, Stu works with computers. He goes, he used to date my sister, but they broke up. And I don't get into that because it has nothing to do with me. But he waves his hand at Stu going, you can't hear me. And he tells the camera, Stu doesn't know I'm a vampire. And he goes on to say how it sucks. He goes, I can't eat him. He goes, look at him. He's the reddest guy I know.
Doesn't he say something like his rosy red cheeks?
Yeah. And we just see like a close up of Stu's face. Oh, man. So we cut to Deacon to the camera. You know, he's kind of annoyed that they're going to Boogie Wonderland instead of the Big Kamara. And he tells him that he doesn't think Nick should have been turned into a vampire. And he goes, he's such a dick.
Well, he stole his look.
Right. He's pissed about that. So they get to the club. They get invited in. Viago is extremely excited and is enamored with the light up floor, the dance floor. I love it because Vlad immediately starts trying to charm random women. And Deacon is just bitching about Nick. Oh, so we cut to them on the dance floor, excitedly hissing at each other. And then we cut to Nick saying how much he loves being a vampire, and his face is just covered with blood. Like he just randomly killed somebody. Oh my god. So we cut to them walking through the park at night, and then Deacon stops him and says he can smell werewolves. And they pass by, we see a group of guys, and he tries to pick a fight with them. He's like, try not to catch fleas, guys. And they're like, what did you say? And he goes, why don't you go smell your own crotches? And the one guy goes, we don't smell our own crotches, we smell each other's crotches, and it's a form of a greeting.
And then they start, like, they're just getting angrier, and at one point, one of the guys in the werewolf pack, is it yep. Anton? Because he's the alpha male.
Yes.
He's like, we are werewolves, not swearwolves.
That's my favorite line.
Well, because he uses a rather derogatory term towards Viago.
Yes.
And or Viago. And he goes, hey, we don't swear. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. He goes, they riled me up. And he goes, we're werewolves, not swearwolves. And then Vlad, as calm as could be, goes, that's a very offensive word to call people. And then he goes, well, unless you're talking about a bundle of sticks. And then Deacon goes, yeah, go get this bundle of sticks. And he feigns like he throws something, and one of the werewolves go running after him. And he goes, don't do that, don't do that. And he didn't really throw anything. Oh my god, like, that joke is so fucking good.
And, you know, and so many of these jokes, too, like, they just happen so quickly, and then just another one's right behind it.
Yeah.
You know, like, and it just keeps coming. It's just unrelentless.
Like, if you were still laughing at the previous stuff, you might miss that little joke.
Right, exactly.
Oh, my God.
And then I love, too, when, yeah, the werewolves are getting all fired up, and it looks like they're about to transform, and then they're talking, and they're like, okay, count to 10. Count to 10.
Do the breathing.
Yes, count to 10. Human again.
Well, because they get all riled up because Viago calmly takes off one of his gloves and smacks the guy in the face with it.
I challenge you to a duel.
And then there's the snarling and the hissing. And then they calm each other down. And the vampires they're like hissing at them and slowly back away while the werewolves are backing away going, you should be ashamed of yourselves. And then they start howling at them.
Yes. And now, Brendan actually pointed out, he thought it was really funny that the group of werewolves, you know, it's kind of the hold me back, like that type of thing.
Yeah. I love it because we pan over, and we see Stu standing there like he's been with them the whole time. They're like, you all right, Stu? And he just looks confused, like, what the fuck happened?
And then we get a very touching scene after that's done of Nick coming out to Stu.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then he tells Peter, Nick tells Peter not to turn him because Stu's a vegetarian.
Yeah. It would, and I love it because Peter nods knowingly, like, oh, okay. Like, he gets it.
Yep. And just the things that he's telling Stu, too. Like, oh, so you know how, you know, we used to play tennis and, you know, you'd always beat me. And, you know, I've beaten you the last three times. And, like, just this random stuff that he's just thrown out there. Like, you know, I've probably noticed, you know, I don't meet you for lunch anymore. And he just keeps saying this stuff.
And all the tennis matches are night matches, though. Yeah. I'm a vampire.
And I love it. Stu takes the news completely unflinchingly.
Yep, he certainly does.
You know, Nick goes on to tell the camera how he's like, I'd never eat Stu, no matter how much I wanted to. He goes, he's my best mate, and vampires don't eat their human mates. And so we cut to the group all accepting Stu. And Vlad mentions how he's like, I wanted to eat him at first, but I'm glad I got to know him.
Exactly.
We cut to Deacon knitting a scarf for Stu. And we see this, like, montage of, like, Stu helping the group. So we see Stu training Viago in karate.
That's amazing.
Oh, my God. And then he teaches them about the internet.
Yes.
And I love this part because they're watching a video of a sunrise, like, on YouTube. And they're all like, ooh.
Deacon recoils at first. He's like, ah.
Yes. Or when they're chasing the cursor on the screen.
Oh my God, Vlad reaches out for it like a fucking cat with a lake.
Yes.
And I love it because he shows him cell phones and Viago texts Deacon something and Deacon jumps behind him, like looking behind himself all scared. And Viago looks all happy with himself and we see the text that says, there's a crucifix behind you.
Well, my favorite part about that is it's very subtle, but as soon as Viago sends the text, he kind of flourishes his hands like he sent it over to him that way.
Yeah. like he sent it through the air.
Yes.
Oh, but they show him the digital camera and now we get a picture montage. They're all very excited about the digital camera photos. And then we see Stu teaching Vlad about Facebook and he goes, we can look at her photos or, you know, we can poke her. And he side-eyes him and he goes, yes, poke her. I love it because the camera kind of pans out of the room. They're all huddled around the computer. And Stu goes, we can look up pictures of virgins. And they're like, oh, yeah, look up it. And then you just hear Vlad go, I don't think she's a virgin if she's doing that. Oh, my God. So now we get the old, we get Viago calling his servant Philip over Skype.
Oh, poor man.
And, oh, man. So Philip excited, like he's this old man. He's this 90-year-old man. And he excitedly asks Viago about Catherine. And he tells him, he's like, oh, love is patient. He goes, Philip, you made a shipping mistake, a little shipping mistake. He goes, you sent me, you know, the wrong postage on the coffin. And Philip starts flipping out going, you promised me you would turn me into a vampire. I'm 90 years old. I never did anything with my life.
And he's like quickly trying to end. Yeah, he's like, all right, nice catching up with you. Goodbye.
He guiltily looks at the camera. Oh, my God. So then we cut to a scene of him outside the Rita Agnes retirement village. And he's looking up at a window and we see a little old lady kind of sit down in a chair and he's watching her. Then we see the group out and about, you know, they're out at a club. We see Stu chatting up a girl and Nick is randomly telling people that he's the main actor in Twilight, which is why a camera.
Yeah. You seen Twilight? The main guy. I'm the main guy. See, I got my cameras. I'm the main guy.
We cut to Nick and the others talking, and they're whispering to him. He goes, they're like, how many people have you told you're a vampire? And he goes, not many. And he goes, I heard that girl over there talking, saying that you were a vampire. And he goes, oh, yeah, well, I told her. And he goes, who else? Who did you tell? And he goes, I told her hot friend.
And this guy over here.
He goes, who is he? He goes, I don't know, but I trust him. Oh, so they tell him they got to stop telling everyone he's a vampire. And he agrees to stop, and then we get the smash cut of a montage of him telling everybody they pass, I'm a vampire! Like, passing by crowds in the street, he goes to a convenience store with Deacon and he starts telling the guy that he's a vampire.
Oh my God. No, this part is great because yes, the guy's like, yeah, I'm a vampire too. He's like, oh, what can you change into? He's like, I forget what the guy says, but then Nick, like,
because you go first.
Yeah. And Nick, like, really does transform. And the guy's like, ugh.
Yeah, into this horrific looking vampire. Yeah.
And he goes, basically, it's an I'll show you yours if you show me mine scene.
Right.
And he goes, don't lie about transforming into shit. That's not cool. But there's another scene where we see him talking to two guys in a bar saying, I'm a vampire. Yep. And the one guy goes, really? I'm a vampire hunter. And he goes, aha, sure you are. And kind of laughs it off. So, forebode.
Yep.
But we see
But Deacon. Then they drag him away. Deacon drags him away. And he's like, all right, I'll Skype you.
Yeah. And we find out later they exchanged email addresses.
Right.
Well, we see Deacon and Nick walking outside, and Nick is yelling. He's just going, Twilight! And Deacon chastises him, going, you're not Twilight. They start shoving each other. And he goes, I'm Dracula, man. He goes, you're not Dracula. You don't even know who Dracula is, you idiot. And they both turn into bats and fly up in the sky and start fighting. And
Vlad, oh, my God. It's so great.
I love Vlad. He goes, oh, bat fight. Bat fight! Oh, so the others watch them fight excitedly. And then Deacon lands, picks up a rock, and hucks it at fucking Nick and smacks him into the wall.
No, I think he grabs Nick. He grabs him.
Oh, I thought he
and throws him at him. Like as the bat. He throws the bat.
Oh, that's
the
yeah. And then okay. He transforms back into a human.
Right.
And he cries because he ripped his coat.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Oh my God. Yeah, because they're like, Deacon, not cool, not cool. And he flies off into the night. Then we cut to Vlad, Nick, and Viago and Stu at a little diner. And Stu's sitting there eating French fries.
And the other ones are just looking at him. And Nick, like, goes to take one. And Vlad is like, you don't want to do that. And he's like, why? He eats one.
Well, first he tells them that they're worms. He tries to pull that.
Yes. Oh, that's right. That's
and
right.
He goes,
they're like, no, you can't do that with chips.
Yeah, he goes, you got to do it with something like, that looks like worms.
Right.
Like biscotti.
And he goes, do you want some noodles, Stu? And he goes, well, he already knows that it's a trick now. He gets all disappointed.
And then he goes into the, he wants to eat a chip.
Yep.
And they tell him not to, and he's like, but I like him. And they're like, all right, learn the hard way. So he eats the chip. And then the very next scene, he is projectile vomiting blood.
Everywhere.
And I love the look on Viago's face because he's just kind of like this little half grin with his fingertips pressed together looking at the camera. Oh, and then Nick starts bitching about being a vampire. He's like, I'm over it. He goes, I can't watch a sunrise. I can't eat my favorite food. Chips are my favorite food. I can't even eat them anymore. He goes, don't believe the hype. And he walks away.
Mic drop.
And then we see Deacon flying to Jackie's house and he hits the power lines.
He's such an asshole to her at this point too.
Oh, he so is. So he comes up to her and he tells her, like, he knocks on the door and we find out that she has a family. Like, we see her husband and kids and he's like, hello, little girls. And she's like, don't talk to him, kids.
She's like, go upstairs. Don't look at the man. Don't look at the man. She's like, what are you doing here?
So he goes on to tell her he was going to turn her tonight, but now there's this whole thing with Nick. And she's like, wait, I thought he died 2 months ago. He goes, no, he was turned into a vampire. He goes, he jumped your place in line. He took your place. So we see Jackie ironing Deacon's clothes and talking to the camera. She goes, you know, if I had a
I would have been a vampire a long time ago. They don't even wear shirts. They wear blouses. They wear blouses and go around. Wait, I wrote it down.
Go around
wearing blouses and biting each other's dicks. It's a homoerotic dick biting club.
And I'm here. I'm stuck here ironing their frills. Oh, God. So Deacon gives her a bunch of instructions and tells her he'll see her tomorrow. He's like, you know, he's like a bunch of different stuff to do, like the laundry and all that. And then he just takes off and she just looks pissed. And so we cut to Viago outside the retirement home again, watching Catherine. Oh. And now we get like a montage of him talking to the camera. We see him taking out the picture from the locket and scanning it and printing out a bigger picture. And he tells us how, you know, she married. And he goes, and of course, I wanted to kill the guy. And he goes, but I saw how happy she was, and I decided to let her live her life. He tapes the photo on the inside of his coffin, closes the coffin, and then there's rhythmic thudding.
Thumping. I thought it was a thumping.
Yes, yeah, rhythmic thumping.
But, and I just love this, too, because it's like they set it all up beforehand where it's this very nice, sweet sentiment. And, you know, he's talking about, you know, like you said, he didn't want to kill her. He wanted her to live her life and be happy. And then it ends with that.
Him jerking off in a coffin.
Exactly.
Oh. I mean, isn't that how all sad love stories end?
Yeah, in one way or another, you're right.
Oh my god, that's amazing. Oh, so we cut to the next day and there's a sudden screeching. So the others come running down to the basement and they open the hatch and they see Peter like burning alive in the basement, somehow hit by sunlight. They're saying, there's sunlight down there. Peter, hide in the shadows. And he's just shrieking. And then they're like, get water. And Vlad goes running by. He comes back with like a little bottle of water. And he throws it on Peter and it does nothing. And he goes, I was too late. And, you know, they get pissed off. They're like, you know, Peter just died. They can't save him. They tell him to shut off the cameras. And we cut to that night and the group is exploring the basement to see what happened. And we see a dead vampire hunter. And he's like, I think this vampire hunter broke through this window here. He goes, and he thudded on this table here. He goes, breaking the table leg. He goes, then he went to go open up the coffin or the tomb. But Peter pushed the slab on top of him and killed him. But then he got hit by the sunlight. And while he's explaining, they look down at the vampire hunter. And Deacon just mid-explanation starts hissing. And Vlad's like, cover the crucifix, cover the crucifix. And they cover the crucifix on him, and Deacon goes right back to explaining like nothing happened.
So I also have to say too, those screams that they used for Peter,
oh yeah,
like that sticks with you.
Oh yeah.
Those were, wow, just bone chilling.
It sticks to your bones.
It does.
Yes.
And then, to your skeletons.
We see Nick come over, and Viago leads Nick down in the basement. He's like, you know, Peter had an accident. He got hit by sunlight, and he's our poor Peter is dead. And they see the vampire hunter with his head completely turned around. So they're arguing which way to turn it so they can better look at him. And they just, like, snap his neck all the way around. And Nick goes, oh, I know that guy. And it's the dude from the club.
Yep. Who said he was the vampire hunter.
And he goes, I told him I was a vampire. They're like, wait, you did? He goes, well, you led him to our house. He goes, I just exchanged emails with him. And then we get the Deacon and Nick chase scene where Deacon's chasing Nick literally up the walls and on the ceiling. He's like, fight me on the ceiling like a man.
Which I do have to say, I was impressed with that because the budget for this movie was not very big. I looked it up. It was like a $1.6 million budget. So what they did with this scene, I thought was pretty incredible, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah. And you know what? You know what in the special edition, what the song was playing?
What's that?
Oh, what a feeling when you're fighting on the ceiling.
Nice
little Lionel Richie cover for your listening enjoyment.
Oh man. So while all that's happening, we hear someone at the door. Viago goes to answer and it's the cops.
I fucking love this whole thing.
These two.
Oh my god.
Now, they're there to investigate because they were told that there might have been a break-in in the area and that the neighbors heard some shrieking coming from this house. So, you know, they come in and they're asking, like, can we look around and all that? And Viago's like, okay, sure. And they come in and they're like, oh, that's an interesting smell. What do you call that? He goes, barbecue. And then halfway up the stairs, he turns and waves his hand. He goes, "You will not notice anything out of the ordinary." And they're like, "Well, yeah, we're hoping not to notice anything out of the ordinary." So they go upstairs. Now Nick is still on the ceiling. Yes. Deacon is floating, and Vlad is holding him by the legs. And they walk in like nothing happened. Mm-hmm. And they're just they're complaining about there's no smoke detectors. And like Viago looks at the camera, telling them he's not a good hypnotizer. And he goes, "And I hope the cops don't, or I hope the guys don't kill the cops, because that means more cops, and maybe even Christians, and we don't need that."
But the reveal for that is just so great, because they're sitting there, and obviously all that's happening, like you mentioned, where you know they're fighting and everything, and then all of a sudden the cop's like, "Wait, what's that?" And he shines the flashlight right up into
yes. Where Nick is on the ceiling, he's like, "No smoke detector."
Yeah, no smoke detectors up there. That's just like, that's incredible.
So then they go down into the basement, and there's the dead body, the burn, all the destruction, and they're like, "What's going on here?" He goes, "Oh, that's our friend. He's drunk. He's just sleeping." And they're like, "Well, this is not okay. Where's his blanket?"
And there's a concrete slab on top of him. That can't be comfortable.
Yeah, the one, I think it's Deacon, says his soul's going to hell. And he's like, she's like, "Well, I don't care about his soul. Get him a blanket."
And then the other cop points. He's like, "Oh, what's this here?" And he points down where Peter burned alive. Yes. And he's like, "You see that adhesive? And you got a lantern right next to it. That's a fire hazard.
And again, a lamp on top of it."
Yeah.
And he goes, "And a fuse box right above that." He goes, "And no smoke detectors." And I love it because they're complaining about the smoke detectors, and Vlad goes, "Yes, there are. Yes, there are." And they go, "Oh, yes, there are."
And they and then they try to usher Vlad upstairs, get everybody out of the basement.
Yes.
And Vlad's like, "But I want more. I want my fire safety tips."
Yeah. And then he goes, "Maybe we should kill them." And Deacon goes, "Oh, yeah, kill them." And Viago's just shaking his head.
So I found out that apparently these two... So the two police officers, there actually was a television show created with them where it's a procedural comedy, almost like Cops or something like that, where they play police officers and they go in and find all these paranormal things. Unfortunately, I couldn't find it anywhere to be able to watch it, because I would love to watch that show.
I've never seen it. I only heard that they were making that, but yeah, I didn't know that it actually came out.
Yeah, I guess it came out in 2018 in TVNZ2, so obviously a New Zealand channel.
Ah, okay.
And it's called Wellington Paranormal. So I would love to see that.
I love the next cut, because we cut to the vampire trial about Nick.
Yes.
Oh, so, my God.
We got Nick sitting in the middle of the living room, Stu kind of sitting off in the corner, and we have the three of them, the Viago, Vlad, and Deacon, standing behind a desk across from Nick. And Vlad just goes, "Read the charges." Viago sits down and opens his little black book, and he goes, "Problems we have with Nick. Number one, you brought a human into our house, which is a big no-no in the vampire world." And Vlad goes, "Stu is okay, though." He goes, "Oh, yeah, Stu is fine, so I guess we'll just cross that out." And they can't find a pen, and Stu gives him a pen. He goes, "Oh, thank you, Stu." And he goes, "So new number one, Nick's been telling everyone he's a vampire, which resulted in an unwanted visit from a vampire hunter." He goes, "Crime number two, and this is a pretty big one, Nick. The vampire hunter killed Peter." He goes, "That should have actually been crime number one, but we wanted to build up to it." Oh, my God. And he goes, Deacon goes, or Viago goes, "Number three, Deacon doesn't like that you wear the same jackets as him and would like you to find your own original style." Oh. And then he goes, "For these crimes, which the Vampire Council finds you guilty, you should be banished from their flat indefinitely." And he goes, "So I can come back?" And he goes, "No, it definitely means there is no end." And then they argue. They're like, "No, indefinitely means that it's not definite, that they're, you know, we
just don't know."
So I could come back tomorrow?
or in 6 months. And he goes, no, not tomorrow. 6 months from now, you're banished. Banished for 6 months. And then he turns, he goes, Vlad goes, but Stu, you can still visit if you want. That's cool. And then they go, for your crimes, you will receive the procession of shame.
And they make it out to be like, this is awful. They're like, oh no, the procession of shame.
Because even Viago goes, yeah. I begged them, Nick. I told them not the procession of shame. And Vlad goes, you did you not. Didn't. We're saying yes, yes, procession of shame.
And then they show you what it is. And it's Nick standing out on their lawn while the three of them twirl around them like ring around the rosy, going, shame, shame, shame. Bed vampire. It really kind of reminded me of the episode of Game of Thrones where right. Cersei does the walk of shame.
Yeah, I mean, they could have at least had a bell.
Exactly. And then there's like the religious lady behind her going, shame, shame. But this was so fucking funny because Stu's just standing on the sidelines like, what?
And then when they stop, Nick goes, all right, we done here? I go, Stu, come on, let's go. And they just start to walk away. And there's this longing moment where Nick pauses at the gate and looks back at the three of them. And it's like almost this like sad, like goodbye moment. And then he just walks away.
I don't know if I've told this short little anecdote on the show before, but every time I've watched the movie at that point, I think of something I did to my mother when I was little, when I was seven, actually. So I was an only child for the first 7 years of my life. And then my mom had my first sister, Carol. And then it was like four more kids each a year after the other. So when my sister Carol was born, like I stayed at Grandma and Grandpa's house. And she had to be in the NICU. So, you know, I would go and stay at Grandma's while my mom would go and take care of her. So I remember distinctly my mom picking me up from Girl Scouts, dropping me off at my grandma's. She comes back to get me. We get home. The phone rings. And remember, this is like in the 80s. So no, we didn't have cell phones. And it was the hospital saying, we need you to come back. She's awake and she's hungry. So my mom drove me back to my grandma's and it was winter. And as I got out of her car and walking up the driveway, because, you know, moms, they wait to make sure you get inside. Because in the 1980s in that neighborhood, Niagara Falls, apparently children were being abducted left and right. Not really. But I walked halfway up the driveway. I turned around and my mom says it's the most pathetic look I've ever had. And like, I really tried to make her feel bad because I just like did that, like the Nick thing. And I just like waved goodbye to her and turned around and walked up to the house with my head like down because I was so upset that like, finally I get to see my mom and oh, that fucking hospital. Why can't that baby sleep more?
Oh, I'm just picturing like the sad end credits to the Hulk.
Yes.
You know? Yes.
Oh God. So now we get the, it's a several months later, they get an invitation to the unholy masquerade and Viago reads it off. It says, dearly departed. And he goes, that's us. Like all excited. He goes, the Wellington Vampire Association in conjunction with the Lower Hat Vampire Witch Club and the Karori Zombie Society invites you to attend the unholy masquerade on the night of the 6th of June, starting at 6 p.m. Then he pauses. He goes, 666. And Vlad goes, oh. And so they're clearly excited. And Vlad is telling the camera how, you know, how great the masquerade is. And, you know, we see kind of photos of the event over the years. And we got to Viago talking about how he dressed as Whoopi Goldberg. And he specifically says, he goes, I dressed like Whoopi Goldberg from Sister Act 1 and Sister Act 2 Back in the Habit. And he goes, it did not go down so well because, you know, she's a nun and vampires don't like that. So Vlad excitedly talks about how every year they announce a guest of honor. And he heard a rumor that this year it might be him. So we cut back to them reading. It says the location will be at the Cathedral of Despair and the guest of honor will be. And then Viago kind of pauses and lowers the invitation looking sad. And you know, Deacon kind of looks away and Vlad looks on expectantly. So they hand out the invitation to him and we just see veins bulging in his head.
That's great.
He walks away. Okay, that's fine. This is fine. Suddenly we hear growling and shattering in the other room. And Viago tells the camera that the guest of honor is the Beast.
And now we find out that the Beast is actually... No, or is it when they get there?
Yeah, it's coming up. Yeah, okay. They're actually, because we get a montage of them lamenting about the Beast. And they're like, you know, Vlad will tell you about how he fought the Beast on a cliffside and how he fought the Beast. And he's like going all these... He goes, he fought the Beast on top of a toilet in a disco nightclub. And they go, that was a hard battle. And then we cut to Viago dressed as Blade.
Yes.
And I love the fact that they carried this joke into the television show because they go, Deacon goes, you can't go as Blade. He's a vampire hunter. It's inappropriate. He goes, yeah, but vampires love Wesley Snipes. And he goes, this is completely inappropriate. So they ask Vlad his opinion on outfits, and Vlad turns around. He's at the computer all hunched over, and he turns around looking all dusty and old.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, you need to freshen up. Maybe eat somebody, rejuvenate yourself. And he goes, leave me to my dark bidding on the internet.
Yep.
What are you bidding on?
Oh, I'm bidding on a table. Oh, my God. So Vlad refuses to go. They're like, are you coming with us or not? He's like, no, I'm not going. So we cut to the party and we see we kind of like a montage. We see Viago talking to the zombies. And the one zombie is very well spoken. He's like talking about how the stereotypes that harm the zombie community is like, you know, all the shambling with your arms held out. He goes, I have done that for years. And then we see these two other zombies come. They're like, he's like, enough with that, guys. It doesn't make us look good. And then we see Jackie sneak up on Deacon, and she's a vampire now. And he's like, wait, how are you a vampire? And she goes, oh, Nick bit me. And then we cut over to Deacon talking to Nick. And he's like, she was my servant. He goes, you should have at least asked first. And Viago goes, well, to be fair, she was not a good servant.
I think she was a very good servant.
He goes, still, it was just rude. And then we see Stu there with Nick. And he goes, they're like, Stu, has anyone looked at you like they want to eat you? And he's like, no, I'm good. And then we see one of the people who are throwing the ball from the Vampire Society come up on stage and kind of like get everyone's attention. And they talk about how they're raffling a live meat bag. And he pan over to it like an old guy in a cage.
I just want to say that man looked oddly calm about the whole thing. Like, he was just like, okay, this is happening.
This is how it all ends for me. All right.
Exactly.
He may have been hypnotized.
That's true. That's true.
Point. So they then say that they're going to introduce their guest of honor, Pauline Ivanovich, and she comes out onto the stage, and Viago looks at the camera and goes, that's the Beast! And it's just like a regular woman.
And that's when we find out that the Beast is actually Vladislav's ex-girlfriend.
Yep.
And they had a horrible fight, and he started calling her the Beast.
Yeah, the Beast is the name I give to my ex-girlfriend, Pauline. She prefers Pauline.
He goes, we had a very intense relationship. We were very sexually explosive, because last time I saw her, she impaled me and called me an asshole. She said all kinds of these hurtful things, and I was impaled on a lamppost. And then we get a little montage of the party. Like, we see everyone's kind of dancing, enjoying the party. And we spin the camera around to see the mirror. And the only two we see in the mirror is Stu kind of dancing by himself and the zombie just kind of.
And then it goes to Stu sitting down, and a zombie sits down next to him. And he's like, can I ask you a personal question? And Stu's like, okay. He goes, are you pre-deceased?
And he starts sniffing.
Yep.
We cut to Stu being introduced to Pauline, the Beast. And she's very intrigued. And she's like, you know, what is he? What is, they're like, oh, he's a male witch. And Viago kind of fucks up and says he's human, and she gets all excited. Deacon and Nick come running over. Or I'm sorry, Deacon and Viago go running over to Nick and try to tell him, like, so how do you feel about Stu being eaten? And he starts telling him, you know, how, like, you know, if anyone was going to eat him, it was going to be them. But, you know, we're over that now. We're past that part. And they try to explain to him, like, there's a vamp, you know, the word's gotten out and there's going to be a frenzy. If one vampire bites him, they're all going to attack. And so they quickly try to get Stu out of there, but they get surrounded by the group. Then the Beast announces that there's a human in their midst. And she's like, some of our friends forgot the rule of the unholy masquerade. And Nick goes, but there was a plus one. He's my plus one. He goes, it doesn't specifically say if they can't be human or werewolf. So, you know, they're like, you know, Stu, tell him what you do. They're like, Stu is good. He's okay. And he starts mumbling. They're like, they're all going, I can't hear you. Louder. So then she speaks up and tells him he's a software analyst. And she goes, he's a virgin. And then the other one goes, I could smell a virgin at 1,000 paces. And Deacon goes, then go 1,000 paces away and smell yourself. And then they all start hissing at each other. And the Beast goes, I can't wait anymore. And then we just hear someone yell, stop. And everyone turns. And then we see Vlad walk in all dolled up. He's got the Dracula butt hair. Like a fur coat. And he goes, there shall be no eating of the human. And Pauline goes, who are you all of a sudden? And he goes, you have forgotten your former lover so quickly. And she goes, Georgie? He goes, no, not Georgie. Like 5 years after that. And he takes the mask off and goes, hello, Beast. And she goes,
but he
hello,
struggles
asshole.
To get the mask off.
Yeah, that's
And like Viago's coming up to help him. He's like, no, I got it.
So then Vlad tells them that they're not eating Stu. And Julian, who is Pauline's new boyfriend, who looks like Toad from the X-Men, you know, he's a weird green monster. And Julian and Vlad argue. Then they start to fight. He's like, what are you going to do about it? He's like, I'll show you what I'll do about it. And they start fighting. And Julian gets the upper hand. And it's like holding Vlad down on the floor. And Stu runs up and impales him. And they're all like, holy shit. So Vlad and the gang get the fuck out of there. And they're all cheering on Stu as they're walking around. And I love it because Vlad goes, it was great how we both equally destroyed that guy. Oh. And then they're like, Nick goes, or was it Nick or Stu? Somebody goes, I hope this doesn't make things more difficult between you and the Beast. And he goes, actually, I think this may have opened up new opportunities for us. So they go on cheering Stu, and then suddenly Deacon smells werewolves. And we see the wolves that are, we see the werewolves from before. They're all chaining themselves to trees in the park because it's transformation night. And I love it. The alpha male is complaining at them that they're not wearing track pants. Yep. And he goes, they stretch when you transform. He goes, you're all wearing jeans. Those trousers are destroyed.
Take your clothes off that you want to keep.
Yeah. So then they notice that Vlad is wearing fur. And they start to get pissed. They're like, is that fur that you're wearing? And I love it because there's this very subtle joke where they turn to the one werewolf because he's got a fur-lined coat, like a fur-collared coat. And they're like, what are you doing? He's like, it was on sale. Oh, man. So they start to freak out because they're starting to turn. And they're like, get out of here. Get your human out of here. He'll be the first one to go. And they start to run, and we see like a montage of the vampires turning. So the camera crew is chasing after the vampires and Stu as they run through the park. The werewolf, they turn around, we see the werewolves chasing after them. One of the cameramen gets grabbed and like slammed around. We see the camera drop, and then we see his bloody body thrown into frame.
And then dragged away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we cut to Nick is kind of floating above the park, and Stu is getting tossed back and forth by two wolves. And they're like, you know, they're like, stop doing that. Stop it. Leave him alone. And, you know, there's nothing they can do. The werewolves have basically gotten Stu. So, you know, the other vampires fly off. They take Nick and fly away. Then Nick kind of goes off on his own. Deacon eventually comes up and finds him. And he turns to the camera and he's like, Nick is probably upset having just seen his friend disemboweled. And he comes over to talk to him. He goes, you know, this is what happens when you're a vampire. You have to watch everyone you love die. Because your mother, your father, all your friends. Sometimes brutal, like slipping and falling onto a giant spike. Or falling asleep in an autumn pile of leaves and having some of them block your windpipe. And then this one is by far my favorite. He goes, or making the simple mistake of fashioning a mask out of crackers and being attacked by ducks and geese and swans.
That is such a random thing to say.
And the fact that he ends it on that.
Well, or old age.
Yeah. Yeah, well, then he goes on about old age and how brutal that can be. And then we see, he goes, you know, watching them grow old and I forget exactly what he said, but it was like about how they don't know what they're saying anymore and how basically dementia is a hell of a thing. And then we see Viago watching Catherine outside the nursing home again. And then Deacon goes, if I knew Stu, this is how he'd want to go out. Disemboweled by werewolves. His face just torn off. And then we see the cops and the paramedics finding Stu and talking about the wild dog attacks that have been happening on a monthly basis.
She's like, it's definitely a problem. And then I forget what the two constables' names are, but the guy like has a stray dog, I'm assuming, like on a leash. And she's like, see, here's the culprit. And then he starts like sniffing and the other cop is like, no, he's not done yet. He's not done yet. No, bad.
I love how this dog is like super calm and he's taking
it's so the sweet. And he even has the sad eyes when they shoot to him right before they go away.
Yep.
Oh man! So now we get a montage of the vampires dealing with their grief. We see a photo of the whole group. We see Deacon throw the scarf he was knitting for Stu into the river, and they watch it float away.
And they're like, Stu would have loved that scarf.
And then we see like Deacon sadly watching a sunrise on the internet, and he falls asleep in there, and we see Viago come running in and close the curtains. He's like, it's almost dawn. You fell asleep. Do you want to turn on fire or whatever he says? And then he drags him up to his closet and he's like, you need to get some rest. And he's like, okay. All sad.
What does he say? Like, do you want to turn crispity crisp or something
that's,
like that?
That's what it was. Not
like Peter.
Yeah. So we get a black screen and then we see a voicemail come up from Nick telling them he has a very big surprise for them and they're going to be very excited. So we hear a knock at the door and Deacon goes to answer the door and it's Stu and Nick. And Stu, completely alive, but he's a werewolf now. He's got like scars on his face and all that. And then we see a flashback scene of Stu waking up on the gurney in the ambulance. And he just starts snarling. He jumps up off the gurney and runs off into the woods. And then he goes, I woke up hours later. And he goes, and these blokes were helping me. And you just see a bunch of naked men handing him pants.
Except for Anton, because he planned ahead.
Yeah. And he goes, so he's like, so they're my friends now. And we pan out, we see all the werewolves. And so they slowly invite them in. And they're talking about how, like, they're talking to the camera. They're like, at first we thought they were going to pee on everything. You know?
And the smell of wolf permeated for the first half hour.
So we opened a few windows. And
oh, so we
one of them makes a comment about Stu's face, though. And I can't remember what it was. What was said?
They were
your face looks like something.
I forget, but the vampires were telling him he looked cool.
Yeah, I think it was Deacon.
And then the one we see in the montage scene, the one werewolf holds his hand up to Stu's face. He goes, "Oh, that's mine. Sorry, mate." So then we see this little old lady talking to Stu about being a vamp or being a werewolf, and we find out that Viago turned Catherine. So we see like a little montage of him floating up into her nursing home. and her telling him, like, or telling the camera how he just appeared and he floated over to her, and you
presented,
know, he
the flower.
Yeah, he had her little flower, and it talks about, you know, he offered to turn her, and she's like, I quite like being a vampire. He's like, I don't mind it at all. And we see them sitting side by side holding hands, and Viago goes, I know some people will have a problem with the age difference. They will call me a cradle snatcher.
What's this 96-year-old lady doing with a guy four times her age?
And he's like, but we are happy. And then we get the credits start to roll. And then we cut in the middle of the credits. We see Vlad and the Beast got back together. And he goes, of course, old habits die hard. And they start fighting and snarling at each other. And then we see Jackie with her husband, who's now her familiar. And she's telling him, like, what to do. And she's like, I love you, but I'm your master now. That's how it works. And then we see the werewolves, and the alpha male is talking about how he's like, I'm the alpha male. He goes, you know, the others just kind of have to listen to what I do and listen to what I say. And he's like, if I tell a joke, I look around to see who's laughing. And if one of them isn't laughing, I want to know why. And then the one guy starts laughing, and he looks at him and goes, why are you laughing? He's like, I don't know. Like, he keeps fucking with him about that.
And then he asks Stu, so why are you laughing? Well,
he goes, everybody else.
Everyone else was. And he goes, ah, see, that's what you have to do.
He goes, that's a good answer. That's a good answer, Stu. And then the credits finish rolling. And at the very end, we see Deacon looking at the camera. And he says, you will not remember the last hour and a half of what you've just seen. You will forget the contents of this movie. And then black screen. Fucking fantastic movie.
Yep.
So good. But yes, I mean, a little bit of trivia. We did mention a lot of it. But apparently they recorded 125 hours of footage. most of it was improvisation. And then they you know, edited the whole thing down to a 90-minute movie, which took almost a year of editing. So, but I mean, I would love if they released some kind of collector's edition with at least a couple hours of the outtakes.
Right.
Because you know they gotta be some, there's got to be some gold in there.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Those three together, I mean, yeah, it just has to be amazing.
Hell yeah. Also, the building used for the exterior shots of the vampire's house used to be Peter Jackson's office, which I found that interesting. Hmm. And speaking of Peter Jackson, the run-in that they have with the werewolves at the end, it was filmed in it was the same park that they filmed the scene from Lord of the Rings, where Frodo and the hobbits are running from the Black Rider, and they hide under the roots of the tree. So that's, you know, a little famous spot in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go to there.
I know, right?
My brother went there on his honeymoon. They actually went to Hobbiton.
Oh, that's where Shane and I want to go.
Yeah, he said it was the most incredible thing ever. He absolutely loved it.
One day we'll be able to travel abroad.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right? Oh, I would love to go there. But yeah, I mean, and we already mentioned the follow-up that should be happening. Hopefully, they've been talking about making it forever, but the werewolf document or the werewolf mockumentary called We're Wolves.
Mm-hmm.
Are werewolves. So thought that was quite amusing. But
did you see the quote that Taika Waititi said about that, though?
No.
So he said, because basically someone asked him about it, I guess this was in May 2019. And he says, so Werewolves is the film that Jermaine and I keep pretending that we're making. Every couple years, we say we're making this new film called We're Wolves, which follows the werewolves from the film. He goes, I feel bad to even mention it now because we keep saying it, but it's like a dad saying, yeah, I'll be home for Christmas. I suppose we're just two dads out on the road enjoying our lives and going, we're not coming home for Christmas. We'll send a postcard. And he goes, it's not like we don't want to come back home for Christmas. We'd like nothing more, but we have a lot of shit going on. And then he goes, when are you going to die? Do you have a deadline before your death? I guarantee it before then. 5 years, 10 years. It took us 7 years to write the first film, so you do the math. But it's true. I mean, the two of them, they do so much now. Oh, yeah. So they're probably just so busy that they just don't have the time to do it.
Well, because I mean, they're both writers, actors, and directors.
Right.
So it's like, you know, when you're taking on that many projects of different types, you know,
and plus, like, Hollywood wants them now, like they're right, hot yeah. commodities. So, you know, they're getting a lot of work and everything. So,
and again,
hottie boombalatties.
Exactly.
And that kind of fame is fleeting, so take it while you can get it.
Exactly.
You know. But yeah, so any final thoughts on this this crazy movie?
No, I'm glad that I gave it a second shot because I really, really enjoy this movie now.
Yeah, no, this is one of those movies I haven't watched probably in about 2 or 3 years. But man, I had forgotten how fucking funny it was. Like, I'd watched the show more recently, at least season one, and I loved the show. And I remembered, like, oh yeah, I should watch the movie again, but I just never got around to it. And having watched it for this show, like, I was so glad that we got it on here. Because it gave me an excuse to rewatch it, and my God, it's just so good. But before we get out of here, we should mention our social media as per usual. We are the Boogeyman's Closet on both Facebook and Instagram, and Maurice, our Twitter. What is that, sir?
At Boogeyman's.
Thank you very much. We also have a Patreon up and running now. We have one exclusive episode on there, along with all of the unedited versions of our shows going forward. So Vampire Month, obviously you're getting all the vampire movies, our My Bloody Valentine special, and my birthday special, much to Maurice and Susie's chagrin.
I saw you commented on a Facebook group that was discussing that, and you were like, I love it. I'm like, didn't like it.
Yeah, I saw you just say hated it. I'm like, I'm going to do something. But yeah, so it's $3 a month for all of our audio content. We do have higher tiers where you get stuff in the mail and all that. But just if you just want the base level of all the audio content, all of the regular like blog posts or anything that we share on there, $3 a month will get you that. We've already recorded our second Patreon special. It will be posted hopefully soon. We're guaranteeing one episode every month that's exclusive to Patreon, but depending on how chatty we feel, you might get more than that. And if you listened to our longest episode ever, which was Fright Night, trust me, the uncut version is a hell of a lot longer.
Oh my God. Dawn told me it was over 3 hours long.
Yes. Yes, it was. And it took me over 13 hours to edit. So I
which is why it came out a day late. That makes sense.
Well, because Skype also, on top of it being a long episode, Skype decided to be a dick that day, and the volume was constantly jumping. Ugh. So I was like, well, this sucks. I had to keep isolating bits of the file and lowering or raising the volume. So that was fun. But for those of you that are on the Patreon, you will be able to hear that in all of its crazy glory. So completely unedited. But also, Brian, he runs a podcast of his own. Now, we've mentioned this before, but I would like to give you a chance here to plug your show, good sir.
Well, thank you very much. So, yes, our show is called So It's Come to This, a Simpsons Family Podcast. So, unlike this show, it is family friendly. Right. But basically what we do is we take a look at episodes of The Simpsons and we break them down. So it's myself, my wife, and my son, Brendan. So we try to get the different perspectives, you know, my wife and I being in the same age group and then seeing a teenage boy's perspective of the episodes and how he feels versus how we feel and things like that. And every once in a while, our other kids get involved as well. Our youngest daughter used to do a fun little segment that a lot of people ask for by name, where she does a useless weather update. But so far, you know, she's just turned 14 and she's decided she doesn't want to do it as of now, but will not commit and say that she's completely done with it. So we'll see what happens with that. So, but yeah, so you can find us. We are on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple and Google podcasts, or wherever you find your podcasts. So we have a lot of fun with it. And if you like The Simpsons, check us out. And then, you know, there's a lot of nonsense that goes on there as well. You folks were kind enough to come on at least once, and we'd love to be able to have you on again at some point. So
definitely. And we will post on the social media a link to their social media so you can go and find their podcast as well if you're interested in listening to some family-friendly goodness. You know, to take a break from all the dirty hijinks that we have on our show.
Who's got the bigger dick, dem titties, real fucking bitch.
Exactly. You know? Our expletive-laced show.
Yep.
But yeah, next up, we're not quite sure which one is going to lead the pack, but for March, we are going to have Evil Children Month. So
dun, dun, dun.
We'll all be evil little bastards. But yeah, we haven't, the voting isn't done yet as of this recording. So we will be posting on the social media which four get chosen. And just for anyone hearing this, the first week of March, we will be taking a break from posting since there are 5 Mondays in March. So we won't be posting on the first Monday. We'll be posting on the 8th, which is the second Monday of the month. But there is a special, so you will be getting at least one other episode in the regular feed, as well as the Patreon episode. So you'll still get 5 episodes. but yeah, I think that just about wraps this up, unless anyone's got any last minute things they want to bring up.
I just wanted to mention real quick, I know it seems like Stu is kind of the fan favorite of this particular movie. And just some interesting things about him. He was actually one of Taika Waititi's friends in real life from high school. And so they brought him in because he actually is an IT technician. And they told him he was going to be doing some of the computer work and things like that on the movie. And then they kind of tricked him to be on film and basically just said it was going to be a bit part, so that way he would be a little more natural when filming. And obviously he didn't realize his role was going to be so important until he actually saw the film when it was premiered.
That's great.
Well, and you know, the funny thing is, you think about it, if they filmed 150 hours of footage,
right?
Like, yeah, he probably was like, oh, well, yeah, I'm just in the background of a lot of this stuff.
Exactly. So I thought that was really, really funny.
That is really good. Oh man. But all right, guys. So we're going to close this one out, but, we definitely will be giving Vampires another shot a little further down the line, because it seemed like this was a topic that a lot of people were excited about. And there were just a lot of movies that we all wanted to get on here. And several that I would have loved to put in the choices that just weren't streaming right now. So, you know, that this we'll have to revisit it. So we're saying goodbye to Vampires for now, but it'll be briefly. But all right, guys, so we're going to close this off. So as always, this is Mike saying goodbye.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye. And thanks for having me on, guys. This was great. I had a lot of fun.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed what you heard, follow us on Instagram at the Boogeyman's Closet, where you can stay up to date with everything we have planned.